So let's turn now and look at the language that's been embedded inside of this conversational hypnosis story. As we look at the language, I strongly recommend that you go and turn to your transcript so you can follow along piece by piece what we're doing, because we're really going to take apart word by word the things that we've been doing so that you get a real appreciation of how much has been built into what you've been listening to. And the easiest way to keep track of that is to go back to the transcript and then line by line follow through as we break down the language into what it means and what we can do with it. Now, the language is really the meat of what makes the whole thing work. And we're going to look at the language in terms of many different levels. The three basic layers we're going to look at is, number one, embedded suggestions. Number two, ambiguities and certain confusion tactics in order to bypass the conscious mind and be more hypnotic. And number three, frames and controlling frames. To a certain extent, all these things will blend together and also create certain hybrids and additional uses of language. But those will be the most common themes that we're going to look at over the course of this process. The very first embedded suggestion starts right at the beginning and within the first sentence of the actual induction. I put it in there just to remind you that even though you're looking for it, you may not normally find it. So the very first embedded suggestion that comes out of my mouth is the instructions for you to like me. So how did I get this in? The very first sentence was, "Now if you're anything like me," and the instruction is, "Now if you're anything like me." So notice already how we're using ambiguities, the word like me in a sense of comparison, and the ambiguity of like me in a sense of be pleasantly disposed towards me. And using those ambiguities already allows us from the very beginning to establish a kind of context for what's going to happen. Now the next thing that happens is we're setting the frame. We are pre-framing the entire piece, the entire conversational hypnosis storytelling interaction. How do we pre-frame it? And we're talking about, you're probably wondering how you can master conversational hypnosis. Now, I'm doing a bit of educated guesswork at that point. You wouldn't be listening to conversational hypnosis CDs, particularly this far through the program, unless you had a serious interest in it. And if you'd like to be good at it, you may as well learn to master it. But until I say that, until I remind you that mastery is a possibility, you may or may not actually be thinking about that. Much that if I remind you of your left foot, the sensations of your big left toe, notice how just reminding you of that is already sending your awareness down that road, and your awareness actually rests on that big left toe. In the same way, I'm actually sending your awareness to rest on how you can master conversational hypnosis. I've set the frame. This is now the context. All the stories you're going to hear, all the embedded suggestions, everything will refer back to this opening phrase. So that was one type of pre-frame, a very bold kind of pre-frame. I've also set another frame in a very casual sort of way a little later on. I talk about, because my signal recognition system wasn't as good as yours, I hypnotized my first subject perfectly and then ruined it by feeling insecure. Notice how there I've presumed, I've pre-framed that your signal recognition system is good and at least better than mine was when I first started to learn hypnosis. Now I'm using that as a guiding piece for your unconscious mind. Now you have a standard to live up to, which is one that was better than I was. The subtlety within that, of course, is that there is an implied suggestion. That is to say, if you started off with better hypnotic skills than I did, that means you must be able to get at least as good a result out of hypnosis as I have managed to do over time, if not become a better hypnotist than I am myself. So as soon as your unconscious mind accepts that as a possibility, it later on can become more of a reality, because that's the frame that you're coming from. You're beginning to assume that as a very real thing. The next level of language that's being used is all around the pun of security and insecurity. Of course, we're playing with that as partly as the confusional pattern to get the conscious mind out of the way. But the other thing that we're doing is we're setting up an emotional trigger, a hypnotic trigger, that the word insecurity and the whole concept attached to it gets broken up inside and becomes one which is attached now, or it leads to feelings of security. So we have a embedded suggestion of being in security. So when you're in security, and already notice the ambiguity is beginning to lead away from the original insecurity, you also have a very direct suggestion, feeling that secure. So notice how we've started the whole process off here, and we're doing several things at the same time. It's important that you realize this, because you can actually make one communication really do a lot of things. You're simultaneously setting up the piece of work which is going to come later, as well as using the confusion technique in order to bypass the critical factor and make the next stage on the hypnosis section. Now, the next thing that we're using here is also an ambiguity in terms of your language. Later on in the same phraseology, we're talking about, you know, whenever you feel insecure about the skills in the future, you can just go ahead right into trance. That's called a run-on sentence. You don't normally run that sentence through. Go ahead and do something is one sentence. Head right into trance is a separate sentence. But because that word head appears in both of them, I can cut both sentences off in between those lines of the word head. And when I put them together, it jumps your mind through from one to the other. And that jump makes your consciousness, again, jump offline because it can't quite keep up with what's going on. And by the time it's caught up, the true suggestion is there, which is to let your other mind secure the learnings.